Okay, good morning. Welcome back to Shmiras HaLashon class learning. We are going to begin with the Tefillah Al HaDibur, the inside front flap piece. The Tefillah Al HaDibur inside front flap. There we go. Ready? Ribono Sha'olam, Yiratzon Lefanecha, Arachim Lechanim, Sheti Zakeni Hayam Uvachal Yam, Lishmar Pi, Lishani Milashin Hara Rechilas, Ezar Mulidaber, Fila Ali Shiachin, Rekel Shekain Al Kaisa, O Achilek Mehem, Rekel Shekain Lisraim, Amidosur Shal Kosh Barhu, Ezar Mulidaber, Dibre Sheker, Hanufa Macholkas Kas Gaiva, O Naestvarim Habalas Padamitsanis, Rekel Dibur Asar, Zakeni Shiloh the Dabber, Kim Dabber Hatsarich, Inani Gufi Vinafshi, Yukamas. And the merit of our Torah, and also the zchus for full shleim of source tolus and yeshuas for bracha avigail bas rachel detha b'soch shachal yisrael shushu b'soch atarichus yavim and arichus shamim. So we amen. We're on page 120, please. So we're in the middle of the page, Uba MS. Okay, let's just go back one paragraph so that we're all on the same page. Pun intended, get it? We're all on the same page. Okay. Page 120. The kasher not chilisakin inyan zeba atzminu. When we begin to correct this quality in ourselves, I'm at the first new paragraph on page 120. The vaday azreinu shem misparach lisanei kachatamin. So the Rabbanu Sha'olam will help us. If we work on improving ourselves, then God will help us improve ourselves. Uka amram, as Chazal famously say, habalitar misayin oso. He who wants to be purified, he who wants to improve his behavior. He who genuinely wants to be a better person. I was looking at Ani Malchus biography this morning to quote a vignette from Henny, and I just glanced at it and I saw again that Henny said Korach wasn't punished because he was Korach, he was punished because he didn't ask Hashem to help him change. It's not that we're not full of necessarily only positive tendencies. We have positive tendencies, we have negative tendencies. But if we ask Hashem to help us change, then we will be helped. There's something else that we noted, that by changing ourselves, certainly this isn't the point. The point is to change ourselves. But when we present ourselves as positive, inspirational people, then we will influence others and they will be aroused to change as well. And the whole outcome of this all will be if we arouse ourselves to improve and thereby influence other people to improve, mida kenegad mida, rachmim min shamayim will be awakened, so to speak, al amo v'al Torah, so over Hashem's people and over his Torah. Okay, uba emes, new information. Excuse me, yesh. Here's something wondrous to say. Hello, Yadua Ma'asha Amar Kasav. Isn't it known what the Kasav says in Mishlei? Im Tevakshana Kakasav. So the end of the pasuk is Im Tevakshana Kakasav. If you will look for it as you search for silver, Vecha Matmonim Tichapestam. Just quoting the end of the pasuk. Search for it as you search for hidden treasure. So what we learn from there? Mizeh Mechach. From here you learn. Shem Mechoyevin Anul Hisaneg Biyuras Hashem Kemoshem Misaneg Biinyan Kasav. Shlomo HaMelech is saying to you, Ha'alavai, that you would search out Torah, that you would search out mitzvah, so you would search out fear of God, your shemayim, just like a person searches out for what? For money. We know how people run after money in society, especially in which we live. It's a human tendency. Man chases after money. It reminded me when I read, I just finished a biography from Aaron Leib Steinman. Did I quote it from it last time also? Yeah. So, because I have a friend, someone who comes to Asharikas, she's really like the class, Shamus of Asharikas, does whatever biography I'm in the middle of reading out, those are the vignettes that I bring to shoot. It was just really unbelievable. If I quote it again, I'm quoting it this time. If I quote it last, I'm quoting it, and I strongly, it's just, he was in a different world. He was Mamish Aben Olam Haza while he was in Olam Haba. So most people search after money, they run after money, not so of Aaron Leib. In 1955, a humble four-family apartment building was built on Rechav Chazon Ish in Bnei Brak, near the corner of Rechav Rabbi Akiva. It was purchased by the Steinman, Yisraelson, Grzensky, and Levenstein families. The Steinman had a two-bedroom apartment on the first floor. It had the Rosh Hashiva of Steinman, his Rebbetzin Tamar, their four children, and for over a dozen years, it was a two-bedroom apartment. The Rebbetzin's mother, as well, Mrs. Sarah Kornfeld, lived with them. Its walls were never graced with a new coat of paint. The kitchen remained oven-free. They didn't have an oven. Everything was baked on the stovetop. Once a year, she baked for Mishloach Manos in like this sort of wonder pot thing that went onto the stove. Otherwise, everything was made on the range. The furnishings were inexpensive and few. Yet, despite the lack of obvious amenities, The Shtaimim residence was a model house. It starts with perspective. So the Gemara teaches in Maseches Brachos, a beautiful house and beautiful furnishings broaden the disposition of a man's mind. Did you hear what the Gemara says? A beautiful house and beautiful furnishings broaden the dispositions of a man's mind. So Rav Aaron Leib was asked when they learned that in the Chabura, why didn't the Rosh Hashiva allow his house at least to be updated or painted in more than 50 years, at least have an oven installed? Elsewhere in the book, he slept on the same mattress that he was given in 1945 when he came to Israel by the Jewish Agency for over 50 years, the thin little mattress that he got. Only later, when he started to have back problems and age-related issues, he changed his mattress. For my wife and me, said Rav Steinman, our apartment constitutes a beautiful home. Like if I don't know if anyone here was Ochad Vida, this is what it looked like inside. There was no oven, the paint was chipping, his chair didn't have a back, he sat in his bed to learn. It was almost like zero goshmis. Our apartment constitutes a beautiful home. It's located on the first floor. Other people have to walk up several flights of stairs to get to their apartment. It's located near many shuls and yeshivas. It's close to bus stops. As for the interior, he explained, to us it's beautiful. Compared to the house we lived in Brisk, there was no indoor plumbing. He grew up in Brisk. It's nicer than the small shack I slept in Montereau, which was in Switzerland, when I was teaching in yeshiva there. It's definitely a lot better than the barracks in the Schoenberg work camp. For my wife and me, this is a beautiful house. Its furnishings more than serve our purpose. They're superior to the furnishings we grew up with. A grandchild once commented of Aaron Leib that he thought his grandfather's house needed an upgrade. Aaron Leib replied, his house was simple and barely furnished, but he could testify that all the furnishings were purchased with kosher money. There was not even the slightest question of gezel. That, to me, is a beautiful house. He told his grandson several times he would be grateful to have as nice a house in Gan Eden as the one on Rehov Chazon Ish 5. He is afraid he might end up with something worse. Maybe he won't make it into Gan Eden at all. Rabbitson Tamar agreed with her husband's outlook, repeated his words to their grandson many times. When a family tries to make the furnishings in the house as high-end as those in the neighbor's house, just to keep up, not because they need furnishings, they're moving their home away from being a home of Torah. So there are some such people, Chaim Kanievsky, who was his mechon, who was interviewed extensively for the book, and who gave the psak that they could publish the book, because Rav Aaron Leib left in his tzava. There should be no published books, no pictures, no hespedim, no stories told about him. It's just he was mamish a ben olam haba and olam haza. Chaim Kanievsky said he was from a different generation. Hashem sent somebody from a different generation to live in our door. The reality is that most people, how do we run after money? We are tivakshen and kakasev. That's how we do. We run after money. Lamaisa, we should strive to be in some tip of the iceberg level to be inspired from Rav Aaron Leib, because Mishle is saying the Chavetz Chaim is bringing down the, what should we really be running after like Rav Aaron Leib? We should not be running after the Goshmis, which is so much of a focus of our lives. We should be running after
Ruchnius.
Okay. V'yadua shebinyanei kesef imyucha limtzoa eze esek sheyucha lehis asher ayada bahon rav. It is known in regard to money, we're on page 120 in the middle of the page, that if he can find some sort of business that he can become rich lehis asher lehit asher ayada through this enterprise bahon rav with much money, eze a million ruble kesef, maybe he'll make a million ruble of kesef, lo yanuach, he will not be passive, v'lo yishkot, he will not be quiet, ad sheyagiah esekohu. So you would never say to somebody, yeah, you made enough money, you could sell going to work today. So why do you think you learned enough? You strived enough. When we reach our glass ceiling, we have to push ourselves even more. There's no such thing as thinking, I worked on it enough. And this reminded me, this paragraph reminded me, besides for Aaron Leib, which I just finished the biography, it also reminded me of Pirkei Avos. A very famous Mishnah. This is not Pirkei Avos. Thank you. That's not Pirkei Avos. The very famous Mishnah, which I'm sure you have heard or familiar with, Parak Vav Mishnah Tes. Amar Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, such a beautiful mission. Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma says, Pam achas hayisi mehalech b'derech. One time I was walking on the way, upaga bi adam echad, a man met me. When I saw shalom, he gave me shalom aleichem. V'achzarti lo shalom, I gave him aleichem shalom. Amar li, Rabbi Meza makom ato. He said to me, Rabbi, from where are you from? Amarati lo, Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma said to this unnamed man, Me'ir gadola, I come from a big city. What is the focus of my city? Shachachamim v'shal sofrim ani. I come from a place of wise people and a place of sofrim, scribes. Amar li, Rabbi Ritzorcha shatadir imanu b'mekomenu. So I have an idea. Leave your place of sofrim and tell me de chachamim rambanim and come live with us. V'ani etein lecha alaf alafim din rei zahava v'anim tovus v'margolis. I will give you tens of thousands of dinarim of gold and pure precious gems and pearls. Amar ti lo, im ata nosein li kol kasef v'zahava v'anim tovus v'margolis sheba'olam. If you give me all the gold and all the silver and all the precious gems and all the pearls in the world, eini dar al b'makom Torah. I won't come. I'm going to live only where? In a place of Torah. As it says in Tefer Tehillah and by David and Melech Yisrael, Tov li Torah's picha, may alfei kasef v'zahav. The Torah of your mouth, Hashem, so to speak, Hashem's mouth, is more precious to me than thousands of silver and gold. And not only that, I just read that one of the granddaughter said she went to see her grandmother, Rabbi Tzin Tamar, every day. She helped her. She served her. She said the most common word in their home, I'm relating to the Mishnah, I'm about to quote the Mishnah, was upstairs. How will this be viewed? Upstairs. What will the impact of my action be? Upstairs. Below od, alasha b'sha'as p'tira so'shal adam. In the time of the p'tira of a man, ein melavin lo la'adam lo kasef, velo zahav, velo avanim tovos umargolios. All that we run after, it's not coming with us after at the end of days anyway. In the time of the patira of a person, his kasaf, his zahav, his vanim tovus umargulos do not accompany him to the next world. Ela toru maisim tovum bilvad. But Torah and good deeds, I'm sure you know the famous story with Baron Rothschild. You probably heard it before, that one of the famous Bali Tzedakah and prestigious people of past generations, where Rasha was very, very wealthy, and he left a Torah Yid. He left a Tzava that he... Does anyone know the story about the Baron Rothschild and the socks? So if you're...
Okay,
so I'll repeat it because some yes, some no. So he left in his will, he wants to be buried in his socks. So after he died, the children went to the Chavra Kaddish and they said, our father wants to be buried in his socks. So they said, we're sorry, but now that your father's in the Olam HaMS, he certainly knows it's not his benefit to be buried in his socks. We can't bury him in his socks. They asked the Tam Rav. The children were so upset. Our father's last dying request, no socks. There was another tzavah to be opened at the Shloshim. And they opened the second letter at the Shloshim. Baron Rothschild said, my dear sons, right now you've surely learned, no matter what a man acquires in this world, because he was so, so wealthy, at the end of his life, he cannot even take with him his socks. Allah b'sha'as p'ti raso shal adam. Eim alavin lo adam lo kesef lo zav lo avadim tovus umargolios ala torah maisim tovah v'avad. When you walk, it will guide you. When you go to sleep in the cave, it will guard over you. Meaning Torah mitzvahs. When you awaken, it will speak with you. So now the Mishnah says, what does it mean when you walk in this world, when you lay down in the kever, when it will be your conversation in the next world? Because the Rabban Shalom says, the Mishnah finishes with a pasuk from Chagai, li hakasef, li hazav ne'um Hashem tzvakos. Everything that belongs to Rabban Shalom, and so much things, so much of what we spend time chasing after, and so much of what we speak about, certainly when it comes to Lashem, v'chom v'dibarai v'masayu l'shem shemayim, we speak about when we plan simchas, it's a big mussar. I was at a simcha recently, and the same night, one of my children was at a different simcha recently, and it was when we came home, my child said it was an event, it was unforgettable, it was an event to remember. And the details, and the performers, and the this, and the that, and I understand that people, Baruch Hashem, they're Baruch Hashem, blessed people, some people have a lot more than some other people have. But we just have to think. What are we chasing after? Where are we putting the money? What is the focus of our lives? We need to think. In the society in which we live, it's a very goshmistic-based society. Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma lived in the last days of the Second Temple and long afterwards. I'm now quoting from Rabbi Lau and Pirkei Avos. We find him in a discussion with Chanita ben Trajan, who was one of the 10 martyrs. Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma attempted in vain to dissuade Rabbi Hanina from endangering his life by teaching Torah, because it was banned by the Roman government. Ultimately, we know that Hanina ben Chajan was killed. Okay? He was arrested. He was brutally murdered. Okay. Good morning. Come in. Interestingly, Rabbi Lau brings down from the Medrash, so Rabbi Lau's Shlita, his compilation Yachal Yisrael, Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau Shlita on Pirkei Avos, it includes Midrashim and Gemaras and other sources, and also some of his own insights. So if you know, Amar Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma, Pam Echaz Ha'isi Malach B'derech U'paga Bi Adam Echad, he's not a named person, we don't know who this person is. This was not a mere chance. The man was destined to meet Rabbi Yosef. The man was the Satan. The man was the evil inclination who always looks for opportunity to snare the victim in its net. That's why paga means. Paga can also be to harm. Okay, paga can mean to encounter someone, to harm him. So when it says a man met me, this is the Yetzirah. What's the Yetzirah trying to dissuade or to persuade Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma to do? To live a life of Torah. Alternatively, the Maharal identifies this man as Eliyahu, who often appears as a man who came to test Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma to increase his heavenly reward. Others say he was actually an ordinary man who went well, but the Satan used this man for his own purposes. So sometimes we don't even recognize when it's a Satan, and that's so relevant in Lashon Hara. Not only Lashon Hara, in Kas and Gaiva. Oh, you're a Kana, your child needs to be reprimanded. You absolutely know the right way to do it. It's absolutely necessary to speak like this. Meantime, you could be over on Machilkas, you could be over on Kas, you could be over on Gaiva, you could be over on Onas Farim, you could be over on Habanas Panim. Yes, it applies to children as well. So we see that sometimes the Yetzer Hara appears in a disguise where we don't even recognize him. He just looks like a regular guy, and you think in that. Now, I'm not saying Rabbi Yosef and Kismet passed this test, but for us, sometimes we don't even recognize the evil ways of the Yetzer Hara and how he presents himself. The Rabbi Shlomo Meir Kagan, the Chafetz Chaim, explained, now I'm quoting Rav Lau. The Chafetz Chaim explains the dialogue between Rabbi Yossi and the stranger as follows. Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma was a man. He was an imposing man. He was a rabbinic scholar, but he was traveling by himself. The stranger thought to himself, this is the Chafetz Chaim, what kind of city does this rabbi come from? How can his neighbors let him travel alone? He has to leave the study hall, maybe he has to raise money to support himself, meaning that people refuse to help him. The stranger was not interested in Rabbi Yossi's name or that of his specific city. All he said was, he didn't say, how are you? Who are you? All he said is, where are you from? Meaning, what sort of people live in your community? Rabbi Yossi answered, you may think I come from a city that does not respect Torah sages. To the contrary, I come from a city of great Torah sages and scribes. Therefore, they give me no special respect, for I do not stand out amongst them. So he was saying, I'm just a regular person. I'm just a regular person. It's not that my city is a low level, they're on such a high level that I'm just a regular person amongst them. A member of the Chevra Kedisha hinted that perhaps Rebbetzin Tamar should not be buried on the outskirts of the cemetery. It was customary for a husband to be buried in close proximity to his wife, and Rav Aaron Leib would be niftar, Admei Vesim Shana, he always made it to Admei Vesim Shana. Wouldn't he want to be buried next to his Rebbetzin? Don't you want to be buried next to those who you taught in the Panovich Yeshiva with? A member of the Chevra Kedisha asked, don't you want to be in Chelkas HaRabbanim? Isn't that where Rebbetzin Tamar should they? Rav Shacha passed away a year earlier. Rav Aaron Leib had been close to him. Rav Aaron Leib waved the question away. Do you think it will make any difference if my body is in the same vicinity as a tzaddik? All I can do is guarantee a good place in the next world. How? By doing mitzvahs while I'm alive. Only that will guarantee me a place in Gan Eden. He chose an area at the edge of the cemetery. Several months later, Rav Avraham Yishai Steinman asked his grandfather, you're a teacher of Torah, Saba. People view you as a rabbi. Why do you want to be buried in the regular section of the cemetery and not with the other rabbanim? Rav Aaron Leib replied, I am a simple person, and I know my shortcomings. Since I have many students, they come to me with questions. I become sort of a leader. After my patira, my students won't be coming to me with their questions. There won't be anything of distinction about me. I will be able to regain my status as a simple person, and so I want to be buried with the simple people. So Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma was talking. He didn't say, who are you? What's your name? Where are you from? He said, you shouldn't think, explains the Chafetz Chaim, and I'm from a city of Joshmos. I'm from a city of such important people. I'm just a simple person. Who am I? I'm a simple person. 1 second. Okay. The man replied, you're not appreciated in your city. Come live with us. You're such a great Torah scholar. We will honor you. Indeed, we will provide you with a fantastic sum to join us, just like Rav Aaron Leib, Rav Yossi ben Kisma, Lahavdil. I mean, Rav Yossi ben Kisma can't be compared to anyone in our generation. Didn't want such a thing. But why would he refuse in principle to move to a city in order to spread Torah? Interesting. So the Chavetz Chaim explains, the stranger was not asking Rav Yossi to teach Torah. He promised people would honor him. To this, Rabbi Yossi answered, he desired neither wealth, no honor, but only Torah. One time, Aaron Leib, he fled from honor, like mamash fleeing from fire, maybe even more than fire, he fled from honor. One time, he came back from America, and someone in his apartment building, one of the neighbors said, how was your trip? So he said, I tried to feed me chazer everywhere I went. So this person, who had been in America many times, is a little astonished. He said, where did they try and feed you chazer? He says, everywhere I went, they gave me kavod. I'm working my hardest to make sure the chazor doesn't affect me. So Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, the Chavetz Chaim explains, was hesitant to go there, declined not to. It's not because he didn't want to teach Torah. He did want to teach Torah, but he knew that if he went there, they might honor him. And that he didn't want. Perhaps Rabbi Yossi would have agreed to move if the man assured him they were thirsty for words of Torah. But what did he say to him? I will give you Gashmius to move here. I'll give you honor. I'll give you money. Okay, they wanted a rabbi to teach them. No, but they wanted someone to give honor to. He spoke not in terms of Torah and spirituality, but only in terms of money, which is why Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma did not want to be associated with this place. Maharal goes further. The man's invitation to live with us implies he expected Rabbi Yossi to become one of them. What inevitably happens is when we join a group, when we join a certain... It's even relevant when you join a certain shul. You have to think about it. When you join a certain kehillah, a certain neighborhood, a certain group, a certain clique of friends at any age, we have to think to ourselves, it's inevitable that a person will join such a chabura and not be influenced. It could be for positive, by the way. It could be wonderful things. It could also be sometimes not for positive. Maharal explains that he expected Rabbi Yossi to become one of them. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi realized they didn't want a teacher or a guide. They wanted someone who would deliver interesting talks and dispense sound advice. Would you like to live with us in our place? They wanted Rabbi Yossi to join them. They would live their lives as usual. Rabbi Yossi would learn Torah on their behalf. They would pay him and they would earn a reward. Rabbi Yossi replied, paying someone to learn Torah does not absolve you of your own responsibility to do so. So I can't rely on somebody else to do the work for me. Okay, 1 second, please. Let me just see. Okay, one more mashal of the Chafetz Chaim. Any questions or comments? Okay, the advantage of Torah is to be found primarily in this world. When you go, it will guide you. Okay, now we're quoting the end of the Mishnah. When you go, it will lead you. When you lie down, in the grave, when you awaken, it will speak with you. What does that mean, it will speak with you? Torah speaks on a person's behalf in the Olam HaEmes. Okay, the Chavetz Chaim tells the parable of a Jew who was summoned for judgment before the king. He solicited character witnesses who fell into 3 categories: close friends, acquaintances, and people he saw on rare occasions. When he asked his close friends to accompany him, they refused. His acquaintances agreed to accompany him, but only as far as the palace gates. Finally, he turned to those he had little to do with. They agreed to come to him with him to the courtroom. The group of close friends, listen to this, okay? First of all, that's the opposite of what you would think, right? The close friends won't go with him. The acquaintances will only go to the palace gates. And those he has little to do with will bring him to where? The courtroom. So the Chavetz Chaim says this is a nimshal. The group of close friends represents a person's work and money, which takes up a lion's share of time, and to which he becomes very attached. When he dies, these do not accompany him to the heavenly court. They go no farther than the grave. The second group represents a person's family, which is also a primary focus of his life. The good he has accomplished with his family will stand in his credit, but they can only come up to the entranceway to the court, because the mice, everyone's responsible for themselves. Once the eulogies and the tearful burrs are over, by the way, Rav Steinman said no eulogies, to bury him as quickly as possible as Rebbetzin. Also, one's dearest relatives cannot accompany the soul on the journey to heaven. And the third group, the acquaintances, who a person sees rarely, represent the Torah he has learned and the good deeds he has done. And a person's life often forces those acquaintances into the background. But when he must answer to the heavenly court, only Torah and mitzvot will come to the foreground to defend him. That's from the Chofetz Chaim and Pirkei Avos, as quoted by Rabbi Lau. So we have to think of how friendly we are and what term basis we are with a life of Torah and mitzvot, because ultimately in the Olam HaEmes, most of the things that we spend most of our time on will not accompany us. Anyway. You know, we're making a bar mitzvah, Ezer Sashem, this Shabbos. So one of my sisters-in-law is helping me to school mitzvos, to make the Gashmis Rechnia. So she says, what are you doing for centerpieces? Family meals. We're making a Kesha family meals. So I said, my bilkos, the chal rolls, are the centerpieces. So she says, Micha, that doesn't look nice. So she took me to the Gemach. That's fine. The check goes to Tzedakah. So the Davis Merev, and we're going to the Gemach. Okay, everyone has to, if it wasn't for her, our challah rules, what's wrong? That's a centerpiece. We just have to have the right priorities. We live in a society where it's very difficult. We live in a society where we run after kesef and matmoni much more than, in general, society runs after Torah and mitzvot. And it's something that we have to keep in mind. And in the heavenly court, our good friends, what we spend so much time in, will not help us anyway. The Talmud, the Gemara Maseches Bava Basra, tells of King Manbaz, a Jewish sovereign during Bayesheni. During a famine, he opened his treasury to the poor. His brothers and his relatives protested, "Your forefathers amassed all this wealth. How can you squander it?" Manbaz answered, "My forefathers amassed it below. I amassed it above." Just like Rav Steinman, the most common word was upstairs. They amassed it in a place where people can seize it. I don't amass, anyone could take anything from you. I amassed in a place where no one can take it away from me. My forefathers amassed wealth that cannot produce dividends. I amassed something that produces dividends. This is from the Gemara Bava Basra. My forefathers amassed wealth that benefit others. I amassed wealth that benefits myself. My forefathers amassed it in this world. I amassed it for the world to come. Okay, questions or comments? Okay, v'hine b'inyan ruchnias yesh gam kein esa kadosh v'nora. So just like we're so busy running after the Gashmis, Rebelsky, that's all said. I read this line in this book. Without Hashem, I would not have a loaf of bread on my table. We have to understand, without Hashem, I would not have a loaf of bread. Where all the, we spend so much time running after, where is the source of it all is anyway? We're coming up to Beshalach next week, is the man. Really, we like the man. We have a different way because our world runs more according to Teva, but like the man fell from Shemayim every day, so too, the Rabbanu Shalom gives us food every day. Also, matters of Rechnias, matters of spirituality, there's a big, an awesome and holy business, an enterprise. You know what you're really working for? You may be working for your Olam Haba, but what you're really working for ultimately is to return the Shechina to its place. Like I said to Alyssa right before we started this year, I gave my daughter name for Rufo Shalema. She said to me, you know, Mommy, soon Mashiach will come and everybody will be better. What are we really working for? Lahashiv Hashchina Amakoma. Kamash Amarno Chazal, Chazal Seisha Ba'avol Nashinhara, Nistal. So what happens is when we are nichshal in all of these, certainly when we run after money, gaiva comes into play very, very strongly. We think that I have, I own, I display, I buy, I, gaiva comes into play perhaps on Estvarim, perhaps Habanas Panim, person comes into my simcha who can't afford to make anything in comparison, and how do they feel when they come in? And then we become over on these things, like we've stressed so many times in this class. It's really broadened my whole view, really, thank you. It's really, it should be really as chus for your father's neshama, of Hashem. It's broadened my whole view of the understanding of what Shemir Salashon is. And we start with the Tefillah Al-Dibur, and we'll see how many inyanim we learn here. It's not only a nyanim related to the classic interpretation of Lashon Hara. So many factors come into play bin Adam Mechaver with our speech. So Ba'avon Lashon Hara Nistalka Shechina Meisrael. Because of the sin of Lashon Hara and everything associated with Lashon Hara, the Shechina Nistalka, that's the exact translation, removed itself from Israel. V'livnos as Beis HaMikdash, and in order to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, U'lahashiv kol Yisrael al admasan. To return all of Israel to its land. We are in Galus. We are still in Galus. Yes, we have a Medina, and yes, you have children who live there, and yes, we can go on a plane and be there in a few hours. It's Galus, just like we just had Hanukkah. Hanukkah was Galus Yavon. Where were the people during the time of Galus Yavon? They were in Israel. Where are the people in the time of Hanukkah? They were fighting for what? The Beis Hamikdash. How could it be called Galus Yavan? Because they were under the influence of the Syrian Greeks. They were under the influence of the Hellenists that had gone to the other side. They were under strong foreign influence. It's possible to be on your land and to be in Galus. But here, if we can manage to rectify your speech and all the parts that come into play with that speech, the ultimate reward is Livnos in Beis Hamikdash Ulahash of Kol Yisrael Admas and Halavai. Shazau Be'emes Hon Gadol. This is the greatest benefit of all benefits in the world, whether it's in this world, but the ultimate benefit is to return the Shekhinah. And yet, Chav Chaim laments, there is no one who turns to this Inyan to fulfill it and to fix it. And something that we have spoken about here many a time, that we see that there is reasons for other mitzvos, and there is reasons for other shmir. We're so careful and cautious when we ask our shayas, and we should be. I'm not saying we shouldn't be. And we're so careful in many things that we approach our rabbi, but how careful are we in regard to these inyanim which we strive to work on in this class together? I read an avoda. Ki yadu amash amu chazal. She'inyan ha'lulav u'sha'ar minav she'anu notin. He brings up the arba minim. The inyan with the lulav, and I'm on the top page 122, everybody. Top page 122. And the other minim that we take, remes yesh behem. There is an illusion. She'esrog yesh bo tam v'reach. Oh, I love how the esrog smells. The esrog has a scent, a taste, and a scent. V'hadas reyach v'lo tam. The hadasim have a scent and no taste. V'lulav shu kapos marim. The lulav, which comes from the palm frond. Ta'am v'lo reyach. It is taste and not scent. V'aravos ein bam tam v'lo reyach. And aravos have no smell, no taste. So these arba minim represent four different categories. I am sure you have heard this. It's a very well-known teaching of Chazal. Amar Kolish Bar, they represent four different kinds of Jews. So the asrog, which has scent and flavor, represents the tzaddikim. They have Torah and they maisim tovim. The aravos, on the other end of the spectrum, has no scent and no taste. They represent the rishayim, who have no Torah and no midos tovas. And then the hadasim and the aravos represent the people in between. Amar Kolish Bar, who yis agdu elu be'elu. Aguda, that's from the word aguda, achas. Let these join with these. V'yavo ha'esrog, let the esrog come. She'esh bo tam v'rech, it has ta'am, taste, v'rech, and scent. Shehu mirames ala tzadikim, it alludes to the righteous. She'esh bo Torah, ma'isim tovim, because the righteous have Torah and ma'isim tovim. V'yichapru al elu she'em bo mo tam v'rech. So look what a charge we have. If we are able to somehow control our speech from all of these forbidden categories, all of them, gav, gaiva, kazo, nazvarim, habanas, palam, leitzanus, machlokas, shakar. Rav Shneiman said the best approach for machlokas, because there were sometimes those who would defame him and embarrass him, he said silence. Because as he said, what are we talking about? Lashon hara, shmiras halashon. Silence. Why? Because if you're silent, there's really no machlokas. The machlokas will die out because there's nothing to say. Well, they say something negative, you don't answer back. So now what's going to happen? The machlokas is going to stop. He is someone who is an esrog of a person, of a giant of a man. Tam and reich, he understood at the level of tzaddikim that he could be mikaper al elu she'en be'am lo tam v'lo reich. If you haven't gotten the point yet, read the book. Mikaper al elu she'en be'am lo tam v'lo reich. Vihine lefiza. So you understand what he's saying? What does Hashem said? They could all come in one aguda. Let the tzaddikim be mikaper for those who are nechshal. Unbelievable schus. You can have those who are shleimim. How would you translate shleimim? Whole, complete, kaish, aleim, could actually be mechaper, bring atonement for those who do not go in the way of God. And if so, in every generation, there are certainly a few thousand, a few million, it's translated as of several million. Halavai, I don't know, halavai. Mm-hmm. But my son was just talking to me about the Gedolei Hadar because he just made a sketch of Rav Belsky. It was Rav Belsky a Gadol Dar, because he's looking through the Gadol biographies at Rav Steinman, Tamer Rav Belsky, he's looking at the pictures. There's a picture of Rav Shechtu with Rav Belsky, so he said, Rav Belsky, Rav Steinman, I said, Rav Steinman. He says, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, I said, Rav Chaim Kanievsky. So there are certainly some very great Gedolim who are totally Shalem. Amanis Achar Binyan Habayis Kokach. So why is it that the Beis Hamikdash has been delayed? If you have people who are Mechaper for a generation, and clearly when you talk about a Gadol, a Gaon, a Ben Olam Haba, while they lived in Olam Hazir, you're talking about someone mechaper for the whole dark. So the question is, why isn't the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt? So reading this reminded me of Hanimachos. I know what time it is. Time goes very fast. I still not figured out how to make the time slow down. I have not figured out. Hanimachos. But I think we maximize. I think we Baruch Hashem, Masi'ata Deshmaya, managed to have every class should be a lot of ours that I hope we're changing ourselves and implementing in our daily lives. Hani Machos, this reading this paragraph from learning, I should say this paragraph, my son just said I have to do Mishnayos. I said, I don't think we should say I have to do Mishnayos. I think we should say I have to learn Mishnayos. Okay. He's a Baruch Hashem, a wonderful child. I'm just pointing out, I said when I read this, I shouldn't have said when I read this, I should have said when I learned this. Hani. David O, who considered Hani his spiritual mother, imagined the scene of Rebbetzin Machos' foray into the next world. I'm talking about a tzaddik, or in this case a tzaddikus, who is mechaper. This is what the Chafetz Chaim just said. There are the purely righteous like the Esrog who are mechaper for the sinners. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Yud Zayin Amar Aleph, says certain sinners who are called Poshe Yisrael Begufan, Poshe Yisrael, sinners of Israel Begufan, with their bodies, after they die, will be burned. This is what the Gemara says. And their ashes will be scattered under the heels of the tzaddikim. How do we understand this before anyone panics? And the Sefer Asara Ma'amaro, the Ramah Mipano writes, it's not negative. It doesn't mean that tzaddikim will trample upon these unfortunate sinners. It means that tzaddikim will go into the valley of tears, where these Rishayim are suffering. They will shed tears for these poor souls being punished. The tears of the tzaddikim will mix with the tears of the Rishayim. This is exactly what the Chafetz Chaim is talking about here. Hashem will have mercy on them and bring them to the level of the tzaddikim. Isn't that what the Chafetz Chaim just said? What's the point of Aguda Achas? Aguda Achas is that the Aravos and the Hadassim and the Lulav, which are all not perfect like the Esrog, will all benefit from the Esrog. They will benefit from the tzidkus of he who is mechaper for that door. He doesn't specify if the tears of the tzaddikim are tears of pain or not. So this David O suggests a beautiful ha'arak. For Rebbetzin Machos, why is she crying when she sees these not so perfect Jews there? She's crying from pride. Listen to this. After the Seuda and Shemayim, where the Rebbetzin will certainly be a guest, the Rebbetzin will walk through Gehenim, and she will look at these unfortunate souls, and with her ayin tova, she will say, look, you benched once in your life. That's such a big accomplishment. Somebody else would say, you Rasha, you never benched except once. And Henny will say, you benched once in your life, what an accomplishment. You honored your parents a few times, wow, we're so proud of you. And her tears of joy and pride, like in this world, which brought people to be tzaddikim, will in the next world bring the mercy of Hashem to those unfortunate souls and lift them up. One second, one more vignette about Henny. Sarala sat at the Shloshim. I told Rebbetzin Tarshish the following. On that fateful Erev of Shabbos, my children and I were sitting around saying Tehillim. We had received a call. They had to do CPR. They were trying to save Aunt Henny. And then my husband called with the terrible news. Aunt Henny was in terrorist. I burst out crying. My kids stood in shock. With the surge of emotion, I was afraid. I thought the world would suddenly collapse. I truly believed that Anne Henny in her righteousness was holding up this world. I truly believed without her, the world would collapse and cease to exist. And I said to Rebbetzin Tarshish, how could it be that the world didn't come crashing down when my aunt died? Rebbetzin Tarshish answered with a story that comforted me so much. The Chafetz Chaim had a son-in-law who died at a very young age. His daughter said, Abba, there are so many people in the world. Abba, why did Hashem take my husband? The Chafetz Chaim gently answered, and I can't believe the Siyata Deshmaya I'm preparing Shir, because this paragraph doesn't tie in exactly to this. I don't know what does. The Chafetz Chaim said to his daughter, it was your husband or a quarter of the world. Rebbetzin Tarshish looked at me, Sarala, and said to me, it was Henny Machos or a quarter of the world. Throughout the Shiva, Henny's children kept saying, I can't believe Ima died. I can't believe Ima died. At the end of the Shiva, Yocheved, one of the daughters, turned to her husband and said, I can't believe Ima lived. I can't believe Ima lived. And the Chafetz Chaim here is saying that the tzaddikim have a tremendous koach, and we have seen such things in our time, and I think that this story and this ha'ara, these two ha'aras related to Henny, really illustrate that so beautifully, that they are truly as the Esrog mechaper. They come in an aguda achas with their ayin tova and their faith in Yidden of all stripes. I recently finished a biography of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Someone wrote him a letter from like a far off country. I don't know if it was Argentina. He signed it just a simple Jew from Argentina. The Lubavitcher Rebbe wrote back, there's no such thing as a simple Jew. that their Ayin Tova and their Ahavas Mitzvahs and their purity in all factions and matters, Rav Steinman kept quiet, and he saw the good in every other Jew. The Lubavitcher Rebbe strove to reach every single neshama. They are like the Ezra, they are mechaper for our sins. And that is why the Moshe Shalom says, take the Arba Minim together, because we need them. There are kama alafim, I don't know if there are, but halavai, kama alafim, revav, shleim, b'sram. So we're actually, unfortunately, stopping here with a question. The question is, you know, it's a cliffhanger, we have to wait for 2 weeks, but I'm sure we all know the answer. Amanis achar binyan habayis kokach. So if, taka, there are in every generation, tzaddikim, we had a Hani Melchus, she lived in our time. We had Lahavdil, I should say, even though they're both very great, Rav Steinman. He lived in our time. So how could it be we have Shlita, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, so, and a Rav Belsky, so how all the Gedolim that we mentioned, the Chazon Ish said there's no better Musar than stories of Gedolim. So how could it be that Nis Acher, Acher, the Binyan of the Beis Hamikdash is pushed off so much? So should we do one more prayer?
They're preventing us from being destroyed. What? The tzaddikim are preventing us from being destroyed.
Correct.
Instead of, you're saying, why isn't the Beis HaMikdash being built?
So you're saying their schusim aren't enough to build the Beis HaMikdash. How many schusim? We need our schusim, but at the very least, we're still here because of the tzaddikim. Right. Very nice. Okay, let's not finish. Let's not leave with a question. I don't want to do that. Let's do one more paragraph. We shouldn't leave in the middle. Mama, she's in the middle of a question. Achein be'emes. Kasher nisponen heitev. The truth of the matter is, when you pay real close attention, nisponen heitev, focus well. Nimsa she'avon zesha hechriva ba'is gam ata miraki bininu. Look at that lashon. It's interesting. I wanted to see it was translated in the English when I was preparing for this year, and it's not translated literally. How would you change, like, how would you, excuse me, translate Gam Ata Mirakid Beninu? How would you translate that? The sin, if you pay close attention, you will find that the sin that destroyed the house of Hashem, how would you translate Gam Ata Mirakid Beninu? Don't look at the English. Exactly. That's exactly right. Even now, this sin dances amongst us. What a powerful lashon. Ba'avanosenu harabim, because of our great sins. V'hine amru chazal, Zagamar says in Sechaz Yuma, Shabayusheni, we quote this all the time. Lo hayabu avano shahayim mitzuyim bayis rishon. We quote this with this Gemara all the time. Bayishnei pnei mash charav. Because the Gemara says, "Bizman beisheni, how you oskin b'torah mitzvahs and gemilas chasadim." The Gemara says, "Could you imagine the time beisheni? They were osek in Torah mitzvahs and gemilas chasadim. It was a geshmak society. They also had a center bizgemach for those who don't want just bilkos in the middle table. That's the lashon of the Gemara. Look at Maseches Yuma. They were osek in Torah mitzvahs and gemilas chasadim. So the Gemara says, "Mipnei machar, mipnei shahayis abos sinas chinim, kahaya bo har be Torah." Ba'zechavetz chayim in his lashon. There was a lot of Torah. Umekayim me mitzvahs b'Yisrael. There were a lot of people who were doing mitzvahs. Alo shahaya bo. Because there was sin eschim, so you see how much is really related to Lashon Hara. And from our understanding and our learning in this class, it's not a narrow definition of Lashon Hara. And the natural outcome of sin eschim is what? Lashon Hara. If you want to see more, you could look on the mushroom. But it is known that the outcome of sin eschim is that there will be Lashon Hara, one man against his son. Not possible. It's not possible that there's sin is chinim and no lashon hara. Yes.
I heard a very nice Devar Torah.
Wait, I can't hear.
I heard a very nice Devar Torah for this week's podcast.
You heard a very nice Devar Torah.
Yeah, Rabbi Eliezer Krohn quoted his Rebbe from the Mir.
They're not going to hear it there, and I don't hear you so well.
Rabbi Asher Ariely said, in this week's parsha, he asked the question, why, when the Sephardim gave up their lives and they jumped into the ovens and they died because Hashem...
The frogs.
They died. They were willing to give up their life, and the dogs who kept quiet
in this week's parsha,
received a bigger reward than the frogs. What were the frogs' reward? That they didn't die when they went into the ovens. But the dogs
get food.
Who just kept their mouths quiet and held back were given, you know, the trefa from the truma.
Right.
And forever they'll be getting that, and the frogs didn't get anything after that. So the answer is he gave this at actually a vort, an engagement. So he's talking about the couple, that it's harder to hold back
than to jump into an oven,
to give your life.
Beautiful. Right. Who said that?
Rav Asher Ariely.
Beautiful. Who told you that? You were at the vort.
I heard it, Rabbi Eliezer Krohn.
That's a very, very nice fire. So I heard something else about the frogs. My son told it over at the Shabbos table. He heard it from Rabbi Stefanski, a Chari Yashuv, who ends up in the morning. So Rabbi Stefanski told over B'Shem Amram, my son said, what's the goddess of the frog? So they jumped into the oven, right? So it's just a different verb, but since you brought up the frogs, also very, very nice, with a strong lesser haska. An animal's instinct, any creation's instinct, is to run away from fire. A human being, an animal, if there's a forest fire, the animals try and flee. They try away. What were these frogs doing? They jumped into Bimoser Nefesh al Kiddush Hashem, to show that Hashem Echad. So often in life, it's difficult to be Moser Nefesh, so we let someone else do it. I don't have to do it, someone else will do it. If I don't do this chesed, if I don't do this mitzvah, if I don't do this tzedakah, if I don't do this drive, someone else will do it. The frogs who jumped into the oven teach us that even if it's hard, we shouldn't shy away from the task of being mekadesh shem shemayim through our actions. It might be hard, but don't wait for someone else to do the job. It's true, you might not finish a job, you might not bring mashiach. It's hard, but don't wait for somebody else to do the chesed, to do the mitzvah, to make the Kiddush Hashem, take it upon yourself. Your word's also beautiful. I love it. Yeah. Very, very beautiful. Both beautiful. Beautiful. What should we do now? What should we do now? I'm choosing a shorter one. I'm skipping ahead. Okay. Not only is speaking Lashon Hara a lowly act, not benefiting the divine image in which man was created, but to listen as someone else speaks Lashon Hara is lowly as well. Okay. This relates to the verse you said. It's harder to be quiet like the dogs. Right. The Torah states, "Lo tisa shem hashav." Do not accept a false report. The Chavetz Chaim is of the opinion that merely paying attention to Lashon Hara, being spoken, constitutes giving it some degree of credence. It's in violation of this prohibition. So just listening. It's interesting. My husband started telling me something that a speaker said that was criticized. So we know a white says a spouse may unburden itself. So as soon as he started to say, did you hear what happened? So and so spoke at such and such venue. And so right away I said, is this Lashon Hara? So my husband said, I'm telling the truth for To'alas, because you know sometimes you speak in certain venues and I don't want you to make the same mistake, whatever it was. But it's interesting because just paying attention to Lashon Hara being spoken constitutes a lav. Just as it is wrong to select the shortcoming of others as a subject matter for your own speech, it is wrong to focus the attention on negativity being expressed by others. So we need to try and guide the conversation to a positive direction. Just as it is wrong to cause harm to others by way of speech, it is wrong to serve as a listener to potentially harmful information being conveyed. In short, derogatory and harmful speech should never earn our attention. So not only we have to be very careful not to be the speaker, but we have to understand that Shemos 23:1. Oh, it's Parshas Mishpatim. We're coming up to Shemos Perchov Gibel Pasuk Aleph. Lo tisa shem mashav, do not accept a false report, is also the prohibition. It's a low tase of even listening to us and her. Right?
It's very so Rabban Shalom should help us. You're going to feel like you're a tzaddikah. It's very hard to tell somebody.
I know. Let me change the topic. I know if it's your husband, you could say, Zis Lashon Hara. If you're in a group of people, it's very hard. So say your phone's ringing and it's an emergency. If you really can't say anything. Excuse me, I have to use the bathroom.
What if it's Shabbos?
My phone is still ringing. It's pikuach nefesh. Say you have to use the bathroom. Get up and leave. If you really feel you can't stop it, you try and change the topic. If you really can't change the topic, then get up and leave. Okay, ladies, we should have Sur Stovos.